All right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to, and we bring it to you completely for free, wrapped in all under an hour. So welcome back, everyone. We're excited to have you. It's going to be a massive episode. We had a week off from the rundown as I was out of town, but we're coming back. We have Ethereum pushing 4,700, actually above that at the time of recording this. We have Bitcoin back above 121,000. We have Solana back above 200 bucks a share, and just all sorts of different news that we need to talk about. So as we typically do over here, we like to give you all a little bit of a rundown first of what we're going to talk about. Make sure that you all understand everything that we're going to be discussing. We don't want to waste your time. And so without further ado, I mean, there's going to be a heavy focus here on what's happening specifically with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana, and how that's impacting the altcoin market. And Ethereum's dominating the news. You have Ethereum Google searches going crazy. It's up 500% since July. You have the spot Ethereum ETFs having their biggest month and their biggest single day in net inflows ever recorded. You have Ethereum's exchange reserves falling. It's becoming increasingly more rare. There's no sign of that slowing down. All these treasury companies have made it clear that they want to buy more. They actually want to accumulate quite a sizable portion of Ethereum supply. Ethereum's now a top 25 market cap in the world. So it's now a top 25 asset by market cap in the world, just blowing away expectations. And then, of course, there's a lot of other things. You know, there's the common Solana versus Ethereum conversation. We're going to talk about that. The bullish IPO, Ethereum price predictions by the end of this year, and maybe even a cycle top, and all sorts of other stuff. So you have Harvard buying Bitcoin. You have Norway's sovereign wealth fund buying Bitcoin. And it kind of just fits into the narrative that we've been saying for weeks here of everyone wants in. There's no sign of this stuff slowing down. We've been talking about higher prices. And guess what? That's going to continue to be the theme until we see data and information and news that says otherwise. And we're seeing a huge reflection of this all over the chart. So I don't want to spoil too much. We definitely have a lot to talk about today. And I cannot do this without my good old buddy and co-host, Mr. Devo.
Thanks, Brandon. It's good to have you back. We actually we missed you last week. I did get a couple rundowns out. We had a special guest on one, Dan from Tasty Trade, and then we did one with Brian. So we got him out, but we needed
there
you
we
back
go.
Because yeah, Brian the Brian episode was super fun, and but we needed you back because of course it's always when you go that the most exciting stuff happens and everything starts ripping to the upside. And me and Brian were like, we need our TA. But I knew we just had to wait until you got back. But credit to us. I know we normally do it on Mondays, Mondays, Wednesdays, or Mondays, Thursdays with you. But, just schedules this week are a little crazy. I'm doing the summit with Bryce. I guess, those in the community know what that is, the free hedge fund summit with all the, top hedge fund managers. And we give that away for free, too. So it's just a busy week, but we're here for you. We're here. We knew we had to squeeze one in. Just because of all the price action that's going on. And then just a tidbit for everybody else, I'm going to put this up either later today or tomorrow on the YouTube, is we're actually going to have our full team Friday afternoon. It's going to be a crypto celebration, almost a happy hour, if you will. It's going to be Brendan, it's going to be Joe, it's going to be Brian, and it's going to be Rohit. Rohit's a very special guest, not somebody that pops on the podcast all the time, but just such a smart, analytical individual.
Brilliant,
that
Brian.
He's going to... Yeah, just a brilliant person that is going to kind of give you a different way to think about stuff. And I always kind of pitch our team, and that's why we brought the other rundown in, right? Brian and Joe, Momentum Moneymakers, Meme Coins, you, TA, me, kind of like the vibes guy, news flow, and we're going to get into some of those vibes in a second here. But it's going to – so Friday afternoon, put it on your calendars. I'm going to set the invitation up for the live early so you can get notified. And if you can't make the live, obviously, definitely catch the replay Friday evening or over the weekend. But again, we had to get one in early, just me and you, because there's too much going on. I know we were texting on Sunday, Monday, like, maybe we'll push it, but we can't do that. The people need the rundown.
Yeah, no, the people need it. And last thing I'll say is mind my voice today. Got a little frog in my throat. Came down with a little something while I was gone. So if I have to pause and drink a little bit of extra water, bear with me there. But yeah, I mean, dude, so much going on. We can't miss it all. And I think the only proper way to kick these off, you know, sometimes we kick it off with the news, what's going on. Today we're going to kick it off with the charts. I think that there's just a lot going on there, and we want to see what's happening and kind of how prices are moving here.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? And credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With Gemini Credit Card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight into your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, or you're a faithful listener of the Crypto 101 podcast and love Bitcoin and other cryptos, visit the Gemini credit card website so it's easy for you to earn even more Bitcoin or crypto with their credit card. Again, visit Gemini.com/card today to learn more.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details. Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
So if we just open up the charts and really see what's happening here at a high level, then what we can see is that, you know, Bitcoin's pushing up to all-time highs as we speak. It's seeing a big old squeeze to the upside. And the big takeaway that I have since I was gone TiVo is that Bitcoin broke its all-time high over here. It broke above this. It retested it as support. And then now it's seeing a continuation to the upside. And this is what I call the classic, or the textbook, break, hook, and go. We have the break of resistance, the hook turning that resistance into support, and then the go is the continuation to the upside. So far, this has been a textbook move. You can see it really, really clearly over here on the weekly chart. So as we zoom out, it's just textbook. Again, we zoom out, we look at this classic break, hook, and go. And the thing about this is, you know, we've already seen this a couple of times. You go back to the lows over here. What did we see upon reversal? We saw a break, hook, and go, where we tested our previous resistance levels here and here as newfound support levels over in here. What do we see in the next cycle after that? Well, here we had a little bit of a resistance area. We came up, we tapped around 50,000, rejected it right here, came down. Then what do? We do a break, a hook, and a go, where we bounce off of this level. Then we see the next one. What happens? Well, we consolidate here. We topped out around 73,000. We came, we did a break, a hook, and tested this as support, and then the continuation through the go. What are we doing in the next one? It's the exact same thing. You know, we've seen this pattern over and over and over again with Bitcoin. Now we are breaking out of our previous high, testing it as support, and continuing to the upside. So that anyone thinks, oh, the cycle's breaking, things are different, like, it's not different. Going all the way back to 2022, we do this thing where we break out of our previous high, we use it as support, then we explode upwards to new highs. And it's just been rinse and repeat year after year, and it's been super consistent. So that's what we're seeing over here on the Bitcoin chart. And prices right now, I mean, geez, when we started this, we were at 120K. We're at 122K now. We're pushing to the upside quite fast over here on Bitcoin, and all-time highs are just at $123,200. Not that much further, about $1,200 until we're at new all-time highs on Bitcoin, which from our current price is really only about a 1% move. Super achievable, even by the end of this day, certainly by the end of this week. One thing that stood out to me here, Tivo, was the total two, the entire crypto market cap excluding Bitcoin. This thing's breaking out almost at all-time highs. You can kind of see it up here really, really pressing. And, you know, I'd keep an eye on this. Altcoins are soaring. We're seeing a lot of love there. And then the final thing that I'll say is just that Ethereum over here. We are so close. We're like $150 away from all-time highs. All-time highs are around $4,850. So $4,850 is around all-time highs. We're currently sitting right around $4,700. Just barely below it, you know, given the time, we're pretty close to it. We're within $200 of the all-time high for ETH. So what we're seeing here is Ethereum squeezing the all-time highs, Bitcoin squeezing the all-time highs. I mean, even a lot of these other charts, like you go and you zoom in on Solana. I mean, this thing's pushing above $200, trying to break some swing highs here. Everything is just seeing this really nice move back to the upside. And altcoins are taking part in this as well, because as Ethereum does well, as we see a strong Ethereum and Solana, that typically reflects onto the altcoin market. And as a result of that, you know, we're seeing Aerodrome. I don't know if you've seen this thing. I mean, it hit up, what is this, $1.45 almost today. It was up like some crazy number. I think it was up like 17% at one point. Still up pretty good, even with a little bit of a pullback coming in here. I've seen a lot of other cryptos, you know, Aave pushing back up to the highs. I've seen Uniswap, which is on here somewhere, also pushing up to the highs. I've seen a lot of other cryptos that are just going well. You can look at Chainlink, seeing this thing pushing through the highs. And so another one was Athena. I saw this one breaking out and pushing up. So, I mean, like, again, there's a heavy emphasis on Ethereum here in today's episode because that's where a lot of news and price action is. But the altcoin market is just booming at the moment. And I got to give kudos to the Crypt Nation side, you know, one that we talked about earlier in the week over on Crypt Nation. We have our newsletter that goes out every week. But one crypto we highlighted was Seapool or Clearpool in Crypt Nation. And so, you know, we don't usually plug this stuff, but if you want to get access and you want to join us at Crypt Nation, we file these newsletters every single week. We spotlight what's happening on Bitcoin. We spotlight a different altcoin. We call it the coin of the week in there as well. And this week's one was Clearpool. And you look at it, excuse me, you look at it since Monday and this thing's up, you know, 30%. So if you want to check that out, you can get, what is it? I think you can get our entire crypto portfolio for $1. And this is a little bit different from that. But if you want to join it, join us at Crypt Nation. We have a link in the description down below on top of that. And of course, if you're joining us on any of our other platforms that is not YouTube, you can head over to YouTube. You can see all the visuals that we're talking about, all the screen shares, all the news, the articles, the charts, and everything else. So if you're coming in from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, anywhere, check us out at the Crypto 101 podcast on YouTube. But
don't mean to cut you off, Brendan, but it's the perfect jumping point for what you just said there. Is we have a couple new people in the chat. We got Jordan. We've got Maggie. Jordan, she's been listening to the podcast for months. It's her first live stream. And then Maggie says, great show, guys. First time managing to catch the live stream as I'm in the UK. So Jordan and Maggie, absolutely welcome. And then also East Coast Lobsters in the chat, as he always is. So welcome, guys. We really appreciate you, you know, coming over from the audio channel to check out the YouTube. That's awesome.
Yeah, appreciate everyone coming in here. We love getting to talk to all of you, and it's just a blast. You know, I think that's one of the best parts about having a community is we can chat with you all, and we're here to do it. So especially on these live streams, so it's good to see you. If I'm not mistaken, it's probably around 5 p.m. depending on where you are in the UK. Yeah. So hope you're having a good evening and
cross
happy
the pond,
to be your evening show. Well, yeah, I mean, let's talk about the rest of what's happening over here, TiVo. I mean, on the charts, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, clearly we're bullish. We're pushing up. The one thing I'll say before I hand it back is, like, we are entering into resistance territory once again. Bitcoin, all-time high resistance, less than 1% away. Total 2, all-time high resistance, less than 1% away. Ethereum, all-time high resistance, 1% away. Solana's current swing high resistance. We tapped it today. You're seeing this with a lot of these major cryptos, is that we are pushing up into all-time or cycle high resistance levels. And with there being so much resistance up here, you know, I am a little bit cautious, right? I'm not shorting. I'm not selling off the whole portfolio or anything like that. But I'm just acknowledging the fact, saying, okay, hey, given where we're at right now, is there a possibility that we stutter a little bit at resistance? And I'd say, yeah, you know, that is a possibility here. And I like to keep that in the back of my mind because I don't want to think we're bulletproof. I don't want to get caught off guard if we pull back some. I don't want to say what in the world is happening, be freaking out, be panicking, thinking about selling off everything. Like, I want to be self-aware of where we're at so that if we do pull back, I can understand, say, oh, okay, we're pulling back because there's all these major resistance levels on all the major large caps. And then I can develop a pretty clear-headed plan about what do I want to do next. And for me, that strategy, again, for me personally, it's quite clear. You know, I want to accumulate around the moving averages, around the 20, the 50, the 200-day moving averages, depending on the charts. I want to accumulate around our previous swing highs, you know, which have now turned into support levels. Those are the areas that I want to keep an eye at moving forward. But just a little bit of like, hey, recognize where we're at. We've had a really fantastic run over the last week or two. And, you know, now we're into our next resistance zone. And we've kind of seen this in the past where we move up, we consolidate, we move up, we consolidate. I think in the long term, the picture's clear. We're going higher, right? I think the picture's very clear. I'm bullish in the long term. And yeah, just bullish overall. I mean, how can you not be?
Yeah, I think that's how the rest of the episode is going to tee up here. If you could just bring it back up one more second. Can you bring up the ETH and put our markers on? Because there's definitely something.
Oh, yeah. I can't forget about this. I mean,
yeah, there's a marker that's going to tee us off into the next segment here.
Sammy, hey, say no more. I already know what we're doing now. I mean,
unbelievable. Tee me up. Set me up. I'll take it from there. Set me up.
So what you're going to see here, ladies and gentlemen, is a nice little pullback opportunity that we saw on Ethereum. Ethereum peaked down to around $3,300. Me and TiVo were doing a rundown a couple of weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. And TiVo was up north. He created this masterpiece, this divine piece of edible art called the Crypto Bagel. We posted about it. The people loved it over on X. People loved it on social media. And we said, surely this is such a perfectly made bagel that this has to be the bottom of Ethereum. It was the Ethereum crypto bagel. And so we plotted it on the chart. And just like you can see over here with the Bryce Paul call for ETH, we now have the TiVo crypto bagel call for ETH. And we said, this is such a divine piece of perfection. It has to be a bottom for ETH. And so we said, you know what? We're going to hold ourselves accountable. We're going to plot it on the chart. And we're going to let you all see when we come back, was this the crypto bagel bottom? And that brings us up to speed to where we're at right now. And I mean, this is a daily chart, TiVo. It speaks for itself. You look at where this is at, plus 40%.
I mean, I do what I can. I take it's all the community, honestly, and Bryce. So Bryce gave us the original ETH bottom. I remember that tweet. It was like the redemption arc of the redemption arc of Ethereum is going to be glorious or beautiful, something he tweeted. And we've all told the stories of how, as like a team, we were kind of like, all right, are we still in on ETH? We're in, we're going for it. And then, yeah, so let's just play the clip just for those. You know, we obviously have a lot of people that join us weekly. We've got people asking for T-shirts and sweatshirts, which is exciting. But for those of you who are new, like we have Maggie and Jordan who are new kind of to the YouTube. Let's play the bagel clip just so everybody's kind of teed up and on the same page here.
And you might be looking at this and you're like, oh, Tivo, why is this bagel on the Crypto Rundown? And I think that this bagel sandwich might be so good and so perfect that it could propel us to new all-time highs this week. Heard me, this week. I think we could break 4K on Ethereum this week just because of this bagel sandwich. He thinks this is a generational bottom for the crypto market, the bagel that propelled us to new all-time highs. I'm going to call it the crypto bagel. Let's see how the market does in the next week or so. It might become a thing.
Might become a thing. I think it has officially become a thing. It's... Again, the bagel was perfect. It had the perfect amount of bacon. It was a 6 strips, to be honest. I know people might say that's too much, but it was such a big bagel. It needed the 6 strips, 2 slices of cheese, 3 eggs, and just perfectly coated. That's what really, I looked at it and I was like, the ratio to egg, bacon, and then the ratio of the seeding was actually so good that I just immediately thought all-time highs. Like, this is the fuel that we needed, like, to get us going. And it was to a week. It was like maybe 10 days. If you give me 10 days, 10 days after that, we absolutely started ripping and we haven't stopped. And that's because that bagel is seemingly giving us the fuel to rocket to all-time highs. So the crypto bagel is officially a part of the Crypto 101 podcast lore right now. And we're going to see how far we can ride this thing because it is quite funny. And I know that there's a lot of awesome people in the community. Multiple people, honestly, that just straight up DM'd or tweeted me that they want crypto bagel t-shirts. So I'm going to work on that. I'm busy with the summit this week, but I'm kind of either design-wise, I'm thinking like just straight up just a picture of the bagel. I'll call it crypto bagel, or maybe I'll try and get more artsy with it. So we'll see. But yeah, just I appreciate the support, but it's truly a team effort from the technical analysis to Bryce's fearless guidance from the Ethereum bottom. That's why you guys come to the show. That's why you guys listen every week. We're definitely in one of those times where the numbers are rocketing because the price action. But, you know, that I think that's kind of a testament to, you know, you don't want to miss an episode because you never know, you know, what kind of alpha we're going to give. And the most recent alpha is definitely crypto bagel. And that's going to kind of segue us, like you said, kind of Ethereum is the main thing. And I know we've talked about it a lot lately, but how can you not with the price action, honestly? So, time for Google searches, Brendan. I know that I have been a big proponent of the Google searches over the course of us making a lot of shows specifically for Bitcoin. And then there was all that stuff online where it's like, oh, Google searches don't mean anything for Bitcoin anymore because everybody knows Bitcoin and nobody's searching it. And I think, you know, even though maybe they don't rock it up to 100 or whatever like they did 10 years ago, I think that it's still a good sentiment indicator. And I believe this for Ethereum too. And so now the same people that said they don't like Google searches for Bitcoin are now posting the Ethereum searches. So take it with a grain of salt. But I think it's a great indicator. And kind of you mentioned at the top is Ethereum searches are rocketing right now. So you can kind of tell back in you know, July. So this is a 90-day chart. So July we had it. Right now, there was a dip. It seemed a little fall off, and now it seems to be rocketing right back up. But I think the most interesting thing is let's go out for a year. So we're going out for a year, and this is the most excitement that we've had all year. And then let's pull it out to even 5 years, Brendan, and I think we can kind of start the conversation here. So the same thing that I teed up with Bitcoin, right? So we're going all the way back here, you know, to I'm trying to get the exact date. What is it? May 2021. So on this chart, do I think that we're going to hit 100 again for May 2021? I would probably tend to believe not. Maybe it's possible. But to be completely honest, I think we, if you're doing some TA on this chart, this could be a, I don't know if we want to, you know, TA the Google searches chart, but this could be a breakout up to at least 50. So I still think that there's room to run on the interest of Ethereum. I don't think it's done yet. And you can see, obviously, over just the last, you know, the last year alone, we're kind of at that, you know, top point right now for July and August that the interest is bubbling over because, and we've talked about this with Bitcoin specifically too, right, Brendan, the on TV, right? A block, B block, or are they just mentioning it during the hour show? And Ethereum has basically went from, you know, background noise most of the time to now truly an A block discussion this week. And so, again, I don't think that necessarily means a top, but obviously in the financial markets, and, you know, we've hammered home Tom Lee. We'll probably bring that up later in the show too. But it has all the momentum right now, and it is truly and I think the price action reflects that, but it's breaking out on its own, because it was always kind of like Bitcoin and then Ethereum and the rest of the altcoins kind of grouped together. But I really think Ethereum's making a run now to stand on its 2 feet. Obviously, in the crypto space, we know that, but I'm kind of speaking in that general terms, right? That's my job, is I'm kind of gathering all the news flow and information and being like, hey, what are the vibes out there? And Ethereum's starting to get its own A blocks on all these business and news channels. So people are definitely learning about it.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, Ethereum search traffic's up 500% since early July. It's going crazy. And not only is it up like over there, but like just about any metric that you can look at is doing good. I mean, the spot Ethereum ETFs I think we have a data point for this. The spot Ethereum ETFs, TiVo, hit $1 billion in daily net inflows for the first time in history. Think about that, $1 billion in a single day. That was more than like entire months before. We did it in a day, which is just a crazy thing to see. And so because we're seeing so much attention towards these Ethereum ETFs, you know, the exchange reserves are falling. I think we did well over $5 billion in monthly inflows into the Ethereum ETFs last month. Now, if you click on the exchange reserves, and yeah, you already have this pulled up. I mean, look at this chart. Where's all the Ethereum going? Where's it all going, T-Bob? I mean, if you look back to 2022, it's going down. Like, it's leaving exchanges. People are buying it up. The reserves of Ethereum are dwindling. And if you zoom in, you know, try to actually zoom in. You can, like, drag that little time bar at the bottom. Right. Yeah, you can drag the other side of that. Sorry. So we can zoom in on the, like, last maybe year or so. But if we look at this, you know, the Ethereum reserves, especially since like this year has started, back into a free fall. If you look at it over the course of March and May and June, July, and all this stuff, we're back into a free fall here for Ethereum, and the exchange reserves are falling off a cliff. Now, they stabilized towards the second half of last year, but now in the last, I would say, 4 months, you know, they're back into a free fall as attention's getting bigger. So we've talked about this on Bitcoin before, and we've said the exchange reserves, the amount of Bitcoin on exchanges that are available to the public, that has been dwindling. In Ethereum's case, it's exactly the same case, probably even in a more volatile and extreme manner. So Ethereum's search traffic is up, demand is up, net inflows are up, exchange reserves, the supply of Ethereum is in a free fall again. And it doesn't look like they want to stop anytime soon. I saw people talking about this. You know, all these different treasury companies, we haven't even mentioned them yet as a catalyst. All these different treasury companies want in on Ethereum. You know, you look at SharpLink, you look at BitMine, you look at the Ether machine, you look at all these different ones. You know, Tom Lee has said, you know, hey, we want to accumulate another $20 billion worth of ETH. And, you know, certainly all these other companies do, certainly retail does, certainly institutions do. And if that continues, like, you just can't help but think this is going to appreciate if there are tens of billions of dollars of more buy orders that are coming in just from the institutional side. So it's a pretty hard, and yeah, I think you have it on the screen right now. They have another $27 billion in dry powder that's just waiting to buy more ETH. That's 5% of the total supply, and 1/3 of all Ethereum is currently on centralized exchanges. So,
yeah, crazy. I literally said this last week. I apologize to the listeners, not necessarily for any reason other than I thought I was shoving too much Tom Lee down people's throats. I think we had basically 7 or 8 rundowns in a row where we like definitely mentioned them or played a clip. And I just had another one last week that I wanted to share. But then sure enough, dude, I don't know if you can pull up BitMine just in the background real quick. But like over the last week or 2 weeks, like what has BitMine done? I mean, it's literally been like a focal point of our conversations over the last couple weeks because he's just making so much noise around it. I mean, 1 week, 54%. I don't have the 2 week off the top of my head, but I think, you know, it's basically close to a double for the most part. So, you know, I mean, sorry, you got something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so since last Monday, so just over a week ago, they're up 115%.
So, and again, I don't think what we talk about is never personal financial advice for anybody, right? You got to do your own research. We're just giving you nuggets of the research that we're getting. And if you've listened to this show for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you've heard Tom Lee and BitMine mentioned basically every single show. And so, boom, you know, you don't always have to be on time. You might be a little early. You might be a little late. But, you know, you go and do your research and learn about this stuff. I don't know. It almost you could make a case that we're bringing it to you before the hedge funds even knew what to do or what to do with it, because 100% move in the stock market and TradFi in a week, 10 days is absolutely insane. So just super, super, super exciting stuff. And it all has to do with, you know, just again, Ethereum being the bell of the ball, kind of how we teed up, you know, the crypto bagel subject was it's just the talk of the town. And I guarantee you, like we kind of said with Google searches, everybody knows what Bitcoin is, and probably most people have heard Ethereum. And I used to say this about Bitcoin, Brendan, when it was like in the top 12, top 10, and it was creeping up the market cap charts. You know, most people, if you went out on the street, most people know what Bitcoin is, but most people wouldn't guess that they're up there, you know, in the top 10 market cap companies. And I guarantee you that people do not understand that Ethereum is a top 25 among the top 25 market cap companies in the world, with you know, half or $524 billion dollars in market cap. So this is, again, it's all about the research and putting the puzzle pieces together. That's what I like. It's like you're putting the puzzle pieces together, and there's so much momentum around Ethereum right now, from the charts to the news flow, that it's hard to ignore. And this show's been covering it for, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to give us too much credit, for months. So, you know, I think you kind of said it before the show. We're like, man, the listeners got to be happy with this, right? Because like we love our community, we love our listeners, we just want to do right by you guys. And we just kind of said, like, yeah, like, dude, if they're not making money, they're doing something wrong.
Yeah, and you know, that's just because everything's just going crazy. And we've been trying to talk about this. So, I mean, if you hear us bringing something up over and over and over again, it's not for no reason, right? It's because either we're like, we look up to a person, we agree with what they're doing, or we're like, we think that there's something of substance there. And, you know, that's why we've been talking about a lot of this stuff so frequently here on the Rundown. So, yeah, I mean, a big push, and this kind of raises a good question, Tivo. I'm glad you brought it up. Like, the big question now is, where can Ethereum go, right? Where is the top for Ethereum? Where's the top for the crypto market? And I've seen that question be asked more and more and more, because this time around, you know, people are making more money and more money and more money. And they're like, all right, I don't want to get wrecked like in previous cycles. You know, what are we doing here? You know, what can we expect? And historically, we see the crypto market top out around a year and a half after the halving, which we're not quite there yet, but we're starting to get closer. And the hard pill that I have to swallow is the institutional tsunami that we're seeing, unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And Standard Chartered, they just published an updated forecast where they're saying, we think Ethereum can go up to 7,500 by the end of this year. And that's a big climb. So yeah, here it is. It says, Justin, Standard Chartered raises their Ethereum forecast to 7,500 by the end of 2025 from $4,000 and to $25,000 by 2028. I'll tell you what, I think a lot of us would be happy if Ethereum went to 25K by 2028. And the reason for this is that there's so much happening, so much infrastructure being built on Ethereum. When you have BlackRock and a lot of these other companies having funds built on Ethereum, when you have all of them filing for stablecoin patents, saying that they want to get in for stablecoins, when you have all of them looking at using the Ethereum network in one way or another, it's hard to be bearish on it. So, like, where is the top? Well, a lot of people have said 10K by the end of this year. Here's my thought process. Because everyone's calling for a 10K Ethereum by the end of this year, My thought process is we don't hit 10K by the end of this year. Typically, whatever people call for, it's usually a little bit less. So could we hit 7K by the end of this year? I'd say that's still possible. Now, will we? Again, we're not clairvoyant. We don't know. We can't see the future. But I think the one thing that I firmly believe is Ethereum's going to see new all-time highs by the end of this year. I think that we have more room to the upside. And I wouldn't be surprised that if we break 6 or 7K by the end of this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if we break 10K maybe in the next 12 months or so. Now, we'll see. Maybe if the cycle does top out, that's not something that is going to be able to happen. But with the current level of adoption and inflows and attention that Ethereum's seeing, I think if that maintains at some reasonable level to what we are actively seeing, I think that we do hit those numbers.
Yeah, it's a great breakdown. Again, we don't have crystal balls, but we just try to give you as much information as we can to, you know, number one, entertain you, number two, educate you. And I think part of that education process, especially when we're all bulled up, is don't get caught in these new price targets of all the bulls. So it's like all these analysts, you know, they chase price, right? When things go down, they chase it down. When things are rocking it up, they chase it back up. So let me pull up this, Brendan. The you know, let's not forget, right? Let's not forget. So Standard Charter, let's start with them. This is you know, March 2025 when everything was crashing down. Standard Charter cuts 2025 Ether price to $4,000. So now they're back up to $7,500, right? Almost a double. So, you know, let's not forget. Let's not forget about, you know, what, News yeah. BTC. Price crash below 2,000. I never heard of News BTC. Doubt that got too many clicks. But let's not forget. Cointelegraph, the death cross. Ethereum's dead. We remember Ethereum's dead all over the timeline, right, Brendan? The last, like, you know, not now, but like before, Ethereum was dead. And Ethereum price prediction crashes to 3K this week. I guess that's pretty recent, July 22nd, 2025. So I don't know. I just don't think we want. I love when the price targets go up, but the problem is, like, a lot of these analysts, they need to chase price up all the time. So you just don't want to forget and kind of always try and stay in that center ground and plan your trades and trade your plan, just like Bryce has taught everybody. But I just think it's important to kind of go over that the past as well. Let's not forget.
100%. Yeah, you got to look back. And a lot of people were nervous about it back then, man. I mean, you know, we were even nervous. We talked about it. The turning point for me was when we had one of the lead Ethereum developers on several months back. And I was asking him some hard questions about, like, why is it underperforming? Why is it this and that? Why are you making the changes that you're doing when it comes to, like, L2s versus the L1 and all these things? And he conveyed it in such a way to me that was like, all right, I've switched my stance. And we had a really good conversation. So again, kind of just going back to the idea, I don't want to brag on us too much over here, but that was right around the time of the bottom. We literally brought on one of the lead Ethereum right. developers, talked to him, put it out on the podcast, and anyone could have heard that episode and probably come to the same conclusion that we did. So make sure you stick around. We got lots of content. Again, we publish it all for free. We want you all to hear it. We want you to have it for free. So we put it all out there for you all to listen yeah. to. So all we ask is to stick around.
Yeah, I totally agree. An unbelievable producer there, just getting the people when you need them the most. But same thing, right? Oh, yeah. We had Ethereum guy on at the bottom. We had an Aerodrome guy right when that token went live to educate the people on that. We nailed Maple. We had Maple on. I mean, just this podcast is one. You know, if you're listening on audio, please add us to your subscriptions on Apple Pod and Spotify. If you're live right now on YouTube, give us a like. Please subscribe, join us all the time. We just love the community. Maggie's got over across the pond. She's got her question. I told her she could get a question. Yeah. Have you you got a longer term view of Solana? Actually, Maggie, just before we wrap up on Ethereum here, closing it out, Brendan. Ethereum strong. We're strong. At the end of the day, price targets, Standard Charter, this, that, the other thing. The overall thesis, the news flow, the technical analysis, and just the absolute vibes of Ethereum right now with the crypto bagel, Ethereum is strong. And so, I think it's exciting. It's going to be something that we're going to continue to cover. Now, for Maggie's question, when it comes to the long-term views of Solana, it's actually a perfect question, Maggie. I had it teed up for you here, actually, in the rundown organically. So let's start off with a clip. This is Kathy Wood. So Kathy Wood is going, you know, huge Bitcoin bull, obviously, and also a big Ethereum bull. I know she's going in on BitMine. She's a big Tom Lee fan. And she had some quotes around Ethereum, and she brought up Solana as well. So let's listen to that, and then we can kind of discuss it.
We had had a thesis that Ethereum was going to be the institutional protocol. I know that Solana was doing much better. Solana had a massive run relative to Ether. And so many people were challenging that notion, and yet we're seeing the votes being placed. And it makes sense. Ethereum, while it might be higher cost and a little slower, it's more decentralized and therefore more secure. Solana, we think, is probably going to be the winner in more consumer-facing applications.
So straight from the horse's mouth there. I thought that was a good breakdown. If you go back to when, obviously, Solana was skyrocketing, I think it was back in January. I mean, that was basically, again, it had the narrative, right? Solana just had the narrative over Ethereum. Ethereum wasn't doing well. Solana's faster. Then there was the meme coin craze that, you know, the blow off top of all the meme coins, right? In January, it was the Trump coin. It was Dave Portnoy with Greed 1, Greed 2, Greed 3, Fart coin. Just like Solana and Moonshot. We had a Moonshot tutorial on the YouTube channel. If you need to learn how to trade Solana meme coins, go find that one with Brian. So just it had the momentum, it had the narrative, and obviously things change and things cool off. And, you know, I think this is a great discussion. I think both are great technologies. I know it's something that I want to have a bigger discussion. So actually, Maggie, you're going to want to tune in on Friday when we have the whole entire team, because this is going to be a roundtable discussion that I'm going to have with everybody. But my quick point, Brendan, and just your quick point before we move on, is I don't think Solana is going anywhere. I don't think Solana is going into a death spiral. I think there's more than enough room for both to be successful. And I just think Ethereum has the narrative right now. And a lot of times when you have the narrative, your price rockets up and then eventually the narrative switches. And you don't really know when or how that's going to happen. But that doesn't mean when a narrative switches, like it happened to Solana, and Ethereum has kind of taken the momentum here. Doesn't mean that project's dead by any means.
100%. You know, the crypto space is big enough for both of them to succeed. We like Ethereum. We like Solana. We like them both, to put it simply. So
yeah, and I look forward to the larger discussion with everybody else, because I think it's always fun when we do that with the group, because that's the cool thing about having a big team is everybody has their different opinions. And I'll give you something here, and it's actually the perfect transition, because I've heard this on TV right before we came on. You know who likes Solana over Ethereum? And again, he said he likes them both, but the bullish CEO. So Bullish is an exchange, crypto focused exchange that's going to IPO today. And funny enough, whatever proceeds they get in their IPO, they're going to accept in stable coins on the Solana network. So there you go. And then basically, it's just another oversubscribed crypto IPO today. The Bullish IPO details, 20x oversubscribed, 33% rising in their offering there. Bullish plans to sell 30 million shares between 32 and 33. Again, not for personal financial advice at all. But my guess is this thing's probably going to rise up out of the gates and then probably have some type of pullback eventually. And then, because you got to basically get their numbers after a couple quarters of being live. Because I think we did this, God, what was the one that went live and we thought we missed out and then it came tumbling back down, Brendan?
Is it Webull?
Webull, yeah. So Webull comes out and goes crazy. It's just like there's definitely some frenzy here. And just like we always say, it's not personal financial advice. You got to do your own research, and kind of similar to leverage. Like, you got to be careful with these IPOs. They can be popcorn winners for sure, but there's probably going to be a lot of volatility out of the gate here. So just trying to bring you the news of it, but I think it's exciting. And the CEO was the former president of the New York Stock Exchange, which I find very interesting. Being the president of the New York Stock Exchange, you know, you have relationships with all the heavy hitters. And then you kind of leave and go, you know, be the CEO of this company and you're going to the IPO. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of institutional interest just purely with the relationship of the CEO.
Yeah, I mean, it's backed by Peter Thiel. You have the CEO who's got so much experience. He has ties probably in a lot of places. And for anyone that is wondering, you know, bullish deals on the institutional side of crypto, not the retail side. So they're actually quite large. If you haven't heard of them, it's because they deal in the institutional side and not to probably 90% of the listeners. But yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Excited to see this launch. Should be around 2 p.m. Eastern time today. So in about, give or take, you know, maybe about 3.5 hours. Worth keeping an eye out on.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely, I got to run the summit with Bryce, but it's definitely something I'm going to be tuning into. Some interesting news happened last week while we were out. Something to definitely talk about here is Bo Hines leaving. So Bo Hines leaves as the executive director of the White House Crypto Council. And he says it's been an honor of a lifetime. I don't want to say it's a nothing burger. I just think overall, this is kind of how this government stuff works. I think it's a lot quicker than I would have. If I was a betting man, I would have probably said he stays a year or two. But there's been so much massive legway in the first, you know, 6-7 months of this administration. Crypto, Bitcoin, all this stuff has been a huge focus. And a lot of, you know, obviously the Genius Act was probably the, you know, the peak. Bo Hines maybe have felt that he could get across. And then again, strategically, this is just how it is. I'm not saying that I agree with it or disagree with it, but when you do this stuff in the political specter, basically, you know, you're advocating on behalf of these businesses like Bullish, like Coinbase, like Robinhood, and then you go and do all this work, and then usually more often than not, you go to the private sector, which is what I don't think he announced specifically exactly where he's going yet. Unless you know that, Brendan, but you know, it's just kind of how it goes, right? You go and you do the work that you believe in and get a lot of stuff across the finish line, which clearly for the crypto industry, it has been done in the last 7-8 months. And so he's heading off to the private sector. He's going to get a nice job and a hell of a payday, I'm sure. But it'll be interesting to track to see where he goes. But just some news that I thought worth bringing up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this should come as any surprise. I think you painted the picture pretty well. He's done a fantastic job with getting adoption, making a lot of progress. The thing is, you know, when you're in government, you know, I know people are going to maybe have some backlash on this. You're not making as much money as you could. You just can't, you know, right? You're there to be a servant. You're there to push stuff forward. You're there to kind of do your job. You're not typically there for the money, right? When it comes to the paycheck. I think he was looking at this saying, hey, we accomplished a lot. We did all of this, but I want to feel the fruits of the labor here. And so long as he's working in the government and not in the private sector, he's just not going to be able to do that. So he probably had a crazy offer to now take part in what this amazing emerging industry that he helped propel. And I don't blame him, right? So he's going to get a huge pay bump. He's most likely. He's also probably going to be able to work in the sector that he likes more, or like hands-on in the sector, and help operate it from a different path. So yeah, I don't blame him. I think I would do the same thing, right? You go, you work, you get all this stuff pushed, you get crypto kind of soaring on the right path, and then you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go back into probably crypto or the private sector and be able to benefit off of it a little bit more. So can't blame him, at least in my opinion, can't blame him. And no. Nothing wrong. We see it happen quite a bit.
Exactly. Just a couple fun little tidbits here to end. So I thought this was funny. I made this one the how it started versus how it's going. So back in the day, you know, Harvard says that Bitcoin's more likely to be 100 than 100,000 back in 2018. And then here we are in 2025. Harvard's endowment goes big on Bitcoin and gold in the second quarter. I didn't get the exact number that they bought, but the fact that they're buying Bitcoin is great, honestly, because I know endowments, I mean, that's a hard thing to get across the finish line, to get the board of directors of that endowment to agree to buy a, you know, emerging asset like that. And then also endowment wise, they don't buy and sell frequently, right? These endowments are buy and holds. So, you know, and you know, whatever they bought is going to be held for a long time, odds are. And then, you know, this kind of opens the door for other endowments. And man, I mean, you could have your own discussion on, do a lot of these schools deserve these massive, massive, massive endowments when they're charging, you know, kids an arm and a leg to go to college these days? But it is what it is, sadly. But it's interesting that, you know, a different part of the capital structure here in the United States with endowments is starting to dip their toes into Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, it's just funny because they boohooed it in the past. Now they're buying $100 million worth, $115 million worth. So it's a little bit of poetic justice. And I see Ryan is going crazy in the chat. Ryan had a comment. I just had to I had to get back to him on it. He said, tell Bryce I said what's up and that he should be the next head of the Federal Reserve. Or, oh, I thought he was saying Bryce should be the next head of the Federal Reserve.
No, I think he meant Bo Hines. Up.
Yeah, he's talking about Bo. Okay, so I read it a little bit wrong. Either way, I say we put Bryce, we put in an offer. Let's get Bryce in there, make him the head of the Federal Reserve. Let's have him push some crypto, cut some rates, and it's a win-win for all of us.
Yeah, no, I would be so sad if Bryce went left us to go to the Federal Reserve. Don't leave, Bryce. Don't leave.
Could he do both? Is he allowed to do both? Probably.
No,
probably
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt
yeah,
it.
You're probably, right.
Yeah, a lot of those people don't want that type of job because you gotta, you know, you kind of gotta wash your hands of everything else. But then you saw we got some. Some other some nations are jumping in here. You saw Norway?
Yeah. Yeah, Norway is coming in with their sovereign wealth fund or Norwegian sovereign wealth fund. And what we're seeing with this is that they went out and bought a bunch more Bitcoin. And we've been trying to say this for a while. It, is that, let's just listen, like, and we said this at the beginning, everyone wants in. It's the saying that I will ingrain in everyone's mind. Retail, governments, sovereign wealth funds, treasuries, normal companies, you name it. Everybody wants in on this. It's a global thing. And we talk a lot about what's happening in the US and stuff, but you know, really it's global and everyone's buying, everyone wants in. It's growing at just a phenomenal level. And you have to understand that it really is a global thing that's happening. And so that's why we include stuff like this is to say, hey, and we've done this quite a bit, you know, all around the world, they're doing X, Y, and Z. They're buying more. They're, you know, pushing this or that. And this is just another great example of it. So,
yeah. I saw this last night. Kazakhstan is Kazakhstan's Font Capital gets approved for a spot Bitcoin ETF in Central Asia. And I just thought it was funny because Borat, very nice. Very nice. But yeah, just like, all this stuff, the floodgates are opening. And I think there's that debate that we always have with the U.S. is like, when is the U.S. going to announce their first Bitcoin buy? Are they going to do it? And then right when you haven't heard about it in a while, then something kind of sneaks out from Bo Hines or Lutnick that was like, hey, like we're working on it. And then it dies off. And then they've kind of like, hey, maybe, no, we have an idea. And I almost, at least we hope, right? We're biased here. We can admit our biases. We want it to happen. But it's almost like, yeah. Would you telegraph, like would the United States telegraph that buy or would they hammer buy quietly and then announce it like, oh, actually, mm-hmm. for the last, you know, since this executive order was signed over the last year, we've bought, you know, X amount of Bitcoin or are they going the MicroStrategy route? Like MicroStrategy has so much Bitcoin that, you know, like Tom Lee called it a sovereign put. Like, do you want to go buy, you know, Bitcoin on the markets or do you just want to, you know, buy MicroStrategy? And, you know, again, I think that's a conversation that's a little above my pay grade of what the government would do. But it is interesting to at least think about it and do the strategy gamification of it. And yeah, hopefully we learn something before the end of the year, or early next year. And that's kind of what this show is all about, right? Every time we do it, we wonder if how long it's going to go. And look, we're at 50 minutes approaching the hour, and we got another one later in the week. But I think that's about all we have today.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, look at that. Unbelievable. Ryan Boylan with a super chat. That's unbelievable, oh. Ryan. Thank you so much, man. Ryan, what do you, let's, I guess we're going to end with a question from Ryan. Ryan, we got a question from you?
Yeah, Ryan. Let us know. A lot of times people come in, they super chat, they got a question. It kind of bumps you to the top of the list. So if you got a question for us, Ryan.
While we wait for Ryan's question, one more promo. Friday afternoon. Do I have the exact time that I'm going to do this? We should, right? let's see, Friday afternoon, YouTube live stream, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. The entire team's going to be here, guys. It's going to be Brendan. It's going to be Rohit, our special guests. You guys have, some of you have probably never even heard or listened to Rohit unless you've been inside the community. Again, just a brilliant mind, very analytical, going to bring you a different view from Brendan and then Joe and Brian, of course, you guys know well. Like, just that episode will definitely go an hour, maybe more, because we're going to cover so many sectors from technical analysis with Brendan, obviously the meme coin markets, the momentum markets with Brian and Joe, and then Rohit just is always super thoughtful of the markets as a whole. And just kind of really, really dives deep in with research. So we're going to have him come and bring some unique stuff. So I'm going to put that live definitely by tomorrow. But again, 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday, 12 noon Pacific, the Crypto 101 team live stream. Something that we're going to try out. If you guys like it and it gets a good response, we're going to do it more. So something to look forward to. But let's see. Brian, maker or endgame? I think overall, I don't know. Do you have a thought on that, Brendan? I know we've interviewed the Maker guys before. They have I met him at Consensus. That was a really, really good interview. That guy's very smart.
Yeah, I like the Maker team. You know, now Sky, I like him. Listen, I've got exposure to him. I like him. Think that they have a great product. They've been in crypto for a while. They also, you know, are able to produce quite a bit of profit. And certainly a lot of revenue every single year. So listen, I like what they're doing. I have exposure to them. So I'm a fan. I know you're saying, what are our thoughts on it? That's it. You know, again, I know Bryce really likes it. I really like it. I can't speak on Rohit or the rest of the analyst team, but me and Bryce over here, we're pretty outspoken fans. We've had him on the podcast several times. We've talked about him, as Tivo just said, you know, we've seen him in person and, I actually just accumulated some more Maker yesterday. So I went back and bought a little bit and I saw it peak in its head under 2K and I liked it. So not financial advice, but just something I was doing yesterday. I saw it down there and I figured I could add a little bit more to the bag.
Yeah, they had the rebrand, right? Wasn't it Maker went to like Sky or something?
Correct. Yeah, that was correct.
Some people liked it, some people didn't.
Yeah, it was bumpy for sure. It was bumpy for sure, but I think the bulk of it is smoothed over. And I think that the last hurdle that they have is really transitioning from Maker to Sky entirely. And I think it's about time. I think, you know, right now they're a little bit divided and a lot of the liquidity is still on Maker, even though Sky is like the new ecosystem token. So I think they really kind of need to say, hey, we're officially transitioning from Maker to Sky. And I think that'll be good for the project moving forward.
Yeah, maybe I'll work on, I'll try and find that PR person, work on getting him back on for like a second half of the year. Because I think it's been about a year since we had him on. So something I'll work on. But again, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, hopefully we see everybody there. Jordan will bring your question about Moonbirds to Brian and Joe for sure on Friday, so tune in. And Brendan, any final thoughts before you take us out?
No, you know, nothing too crazy. I just want to say, hey, we really appreciate everyone coming in here, asking a bunch of questions, staying with us. We really do appreciate and respect all of your time. So we got another great episode coming your way. We got lots of podcasts, market updates, YouTube tutorials, you name it. So if you haven't already, hit the like and subscribe button, and we'll see all of you in the very near future.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals, only at Smoothie King.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.